Sometimes I don't know why. And time simply goes by so fast. In the twinkling of an eye. That's the joy of the world.
Who cares when you lose? Your health and well-being show here on Channel Red, on Channel Red, on Channel Red.
Who cares when? Every Monday at noon on Channel Radio. On the bright side.
Good afternoon and welcome to Who Cares Wins on channelradio.co.uk. My name is Jan Mulligan and with me in the studio today, my special co-host.
Who's that then?
That will be you.
She's just run out the door, but I'll do, Jan.
You'll do,
yes,
you'll step
it's me, Angela Bryer Stevenson. I'm in the other seat today and I've got to be a good girl and Jan's going to keep me in order.
Well, I do have a slider on her microphone, should she get out of hand. We are Who Cares Wins, very kindly sponsored by Ken Connections, your holistic therapy, alternative therapy and general therapy magazine, free in lots of reputable sites within Kent. So thank you very much, Kent Connections. We're here on a gloriously sunny day in Dimchurch Hythe area. Lots of road traffic, lots of accidents, lots of
potholes. Yeah, something happened in Canterbury, but there was, there was some sort of bus accident collision near the police station, so the road was closed. Yeah. So, yeah, entertaining. So
everybody, calm driving for a Monday. Get where you're going safely. Mm. And if you are stuck in traffic with internet connection, you might be listening to us.
Yes, welcome.
Otherwise, welcome.
Welcome, welcome.
You could be in your office, in your home, hopefully with a drink to hand, because one of the topics we're going to talk about today is the importance of good hydration.
Hydration, and that's water and squash and fruit and vegetables rather than the red wine or the tequilas.
Well, we're going to find that out, because there might be, every time we ask a guest about hydration,
maybe
we're waiting for the guest.
Maybe there's a new way that's, you know, a new... I just have to mention, we've got wonderful people on Twitter.
Oh, please do.
And we've had some retweets going on, fantastic. Health and Beauty Awards, been retweeting. Jules Serkin, the lovely Jules Serkin, who hosts the wonderful Superior Show, as she calls it,
to us,
the Scoff and Quaff, superior to the Business Bunker.
That's
show.
Right.
Every Tuesday from 11 to 12 is her show, Scoff and Quaff, all about food and drink. And she's posted, she's replied to the picture that I took of our wonderful guest, Sophie, Dr. Sophie, and she's put here, she looks too young to be a doctor.
Well,
so thank you very
out.
Much, Jules. So we're going to find out more.
We'll quiz her on her qualifications. But we know there's a reason why she looks too young. We have with us today Dr. Sophie Schotter of Illuminate Skin Clinics. Welcome, Sophie.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. And do I say Dr. Sophie?
Yeah, Dr. Sophie or Sophie.
Okay, that's brilliant.
Doctor, so, doctor. I'm going to call her doctor.
You're going to call her doctor.
Yeah, yeah. I've got a doctor. I feel very honoured.
Right, well, there we go.
Can I have your autograph, please, Dr. Sophie?
On the
pleasure.
Prescription that you want pills now.
Yeah, just don't write diazepam above it, please.
Okay.
So, Dr. Sophie, that means you are a medical doctor or a PhD?
I'm a medical doctor.
Excellent. So that's one question out of
what
the way.
What does that mean?
What
do you, when you say a medical doctor, that still in my world says medical, I'm going to rock up and I'll tell you I've got a pain in my neck.
No, we're going to take Dr. Sophie back to her childhood school years and find out her career path.
Super.
So,
I'm a bear with small brain, Jan.
I'm sure she's probably got a cure for that, but we'll come back to that in a moment. So, Dr. Sophie, at what point in your life did you think, I want to be a doctor?
It was in my teens, really. I did think about becoming a lawyer. I did some work experience and, to be honest, found it quite boring. And then I thought, okay, what am I good at? What do I enjoy? I loved the people contact and the science, and that comes together very much in medicine. So that's where that's how I found my way.
So from school to university.
Yep.
And am I right in saying that when you go to be trained in medicine, everybody does the same modules in the first year or so?
Yes, for a large part of the degree, we all do similar, and then there's points where we can choose things that interest us a little bit more.
Right. So what grabbed your interest?
Anaesthetics was what I enjoyed the most, and the intensive care side of medicine as well.
Right. So see, anaesthetics for me takes me back to my childhood, watching programs like Doctor in the House, when the anaesthetist is sitting at the end of the bed with his crossword or her crossword or a book, just checking a few dials while the surgeons and everybody else does all the work. You're going to put me right on that now, aren't you?
A little bit more involved. There is the odd Sudoku that goes on, right. But the anaesthetists are the ones who keep every function you need to be alive going while the surgeon performs the operation you need or want to have. So it's a very, they're the ones who are supporting your body.
In many ways, you're more important because the surgeon's just having a tinker around under the hood, so to speak.
Don't tell the surgeons I said that.
But you're actually keeping me alive and making sure that if she or he does anything wrong, that you can keep me ticking over exactly. until they can rectify it.
Yes.
So it's quite high pressured then.
Yeah.
And then you mentioned the intensive care side of things.
Yes.
So is this sort of the A&E accident side or is this long-term?
A bit of both. We were very involved in emergencies in A&E, but also so the intensive care units where the most sick people in the hospital go to be looked after, and that's usually run by anaesthetists.
Right. Okay. So you're on this career path. Mm-hmm. Do you... get to the end? Do you swerve off into a different direction?
You might swear off too. You never know.
You never know. These doctors, foul language. That's why they have such bad handwriting. They can snip a swear word in occasionally. Nobody notices. But you're now into skin health and skin care. So
yeah.
Where did that happen in your career?
So I was a registrar in anaesthetics. So I was still a junior doctor, but
right.
On the sort of final tail towards consultancy, and I'd set my business up as a sideline, something I was quite interested in, I enjoyed, and it was something that gave me a responsibility that meant I said no to doing quite so many extra shifts in the NHS. That's how it all started, and then I found I actually really loved it. I was really passionate about it and seemed to get myself a pretty good reputation, so I got busy. And it got to the point where I thought, I can only do one of these as well as I want to be able to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I made a decision, and it was to follow my real passion.
So you're now running your own clinic, mm-hmm. and it's actually clinics because you've got
that
several
was
sites?
One at the moment. But when I created the name, I thought there was a possibility I might open a second in the future.
So forward planning, we like that.
Yay, worldwide domination, big, big, yay.
But in terms of the doctor side, is that an ongoing thing? Can it lapse? Do you want to continue with it? How does that work?
So I am still a fully qualified and registered and licensed doctor with a general medical council registration, and I go through an annual appraisal process to maintain that. If I stopped that, it would lapse, but it would also mean that I couldn't practice what I do at the moment. My skin clinic is dependent on me being a doctor.
Right. Okay. So we're going to be talking all things skin, and I'm just going to play a little extract that I was going to play before we started talking to you, but my trigger finger went to sleep on me. So just a bit of fun about what the skin is.
Stretching all around you very tightly, won't you?
Skin. You and me have skin.
You and me have epidermis.
That is what is on the surface. Nothing you need hide.
Epidermis.
Skin is just a cover protecting what's inside.
So, that's really it in a nutshell, isn't it? Skin, it's what covers us,
yeah,
keeps everything inside. I like that. And it's known medically as the epidermis, or is that the way they're pronouncing it?
Part of the skin is the epidermis.
It's the epidermis,
the
and they put the H on to make it a happy song.
Yeah.
Just wanted to clarify that one.
I think I prefer that version.
Yeah. So it's for you, it's all things skin. Is it medical problems as well as beauty, or is it one more than the other?
I would say it's more the beauty side, but
right.
I do deal with people with medical skin problems as well. A lot of people, if they think they have a medical problem, their first port of call would be their GP.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The people who feel they're not getting enough from their GP or what the results they want, then they'll come and find someone like me.
Right.
I'm not a dermatologist.
Right.
That's another step beyond. And sometimes I do refer patients on to dermatologists.
Okay. So just to clarify, in dermatology, that's skin problems, either constant irritations or infections or...
Psoriasis, bad eczema. There's lots of things that... very resistant acne, for example. Those sorts of things I would send on to a dermatologist.
So I suppose it's more about treatment of a skin condition as opposed to perhaps... If they've had a skin condition that's been sorted, but they've been left with a scar from the acne, for example, they may come to you to hide that, to make their face look smoother, different.
Yes, we can treat the acne itself as well. Mm-hmm. But the scarring side of things is something we deal with a lot as well.
Right.
Okay. So you have your own clinic.
Yes.
So that to me says there's a building that people visit.
Yes.
Do you only do it that way or do you visit people?
No, I don't visit people. Right. We have a clinic within a business centre in Kings Hill.
Which is near Maidstone in Kent, for those not in the area.
And I picked it there because it's very discreet. So you could be coming to see any of 150 businesses. Mm-hmm. And within that, we have an accredited clinic that's been inspected, voluntarily inspected, but meets stringent clinical standards.
Right. So when you say voluntarily inspected, is this an industry that's not specifically regulated at the moment?
Yes. There are moves to try and improve that, but at the moment standards are very variable, and there are various institutions trying to help us improve that. So I'm accredited with an institution called Safe Face, and they are working very much towards raising publicity about where to look for good practitioners within my industry, for example.
Okay. Because obviously we see in the press day in, day out, the scare stories, the treatments that go wrong. Or for some of us, the treatments that are purported to have gone right, but we look at the image and we think, that looks a bit weird.
I do the same thing.
So that's good to know that, you know, as an industry, they're starting to try and put some regulation in place. This might not be a question you can answer, but I'm going to throw it at you anyway. Proportion-wise, the number of clinics, practitioners that have come from a medical background versus those that haven't?
I can't put a proportion on it, but there are several people who are practicing, for example, dermal filler injections, who, in my opinion, and in most people's opinions, really shouldn't be.
Right.
Because they can't get their hands on safe products, because they haven't had the training, because they don't understand infection control. And at the moment, there are lots of them out there. They're charging bargain basement prices, but people get health complications from that, often years down the line. And the numbers of those, I can't actually give a figure for, but it's scary.
Right. So I'm going to ask you in a moment what the dermal filler aspect is, because we want all the terminology today. But coming back to the cost aspect, is this an industry where you get what you pay for, or can you be paying too much because somebody sees you coming?
I think it is an industry where you get what you pay for. Mm-hmm. So if you want someone who is accredited, who has done the necessary qualifications, who maintains their training, who goes to conferences to stay up to date, who is insured, that's going to cost. So you're not going to get a cheap treatment from someone like that. There are also practitioners who will recommend treatments that maybe aren't right for you. So it's about finding a person whose opinion you trust, and don't expect that person to be cheap.
Right. Okay. So back to this dermal filler.
Yes.
It's almost like me, you know, your polyfiller and your mastic. And is this the same for the skin? Oh, I've made a laugh. This is good. We're on a roll.
Pull it out.
Dermal fillers are a substance that we use to plump up, to revolumize. So that can be used to fill in a fine line or wrinkle, to revolumize the cheeks, because as we age, we lose volume in the cheeks, or to give someone a slightly fuller pout, to treat the lips. Those sorts of areas are what we use dermal fillers for. And there's several different types, but the ones that we medically use are very safe.
And are these injected in?
Yes, they are.
So they're going under the skin.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Which leads us perfectly to our first piece of music. We have Michael Bublé.
The lovely Michael. Now, he helps me plump my face up.
The smile gets bigger and bigger. Here we have.
And I get a few more laughter lines or smile lines.
I've got you under my skin.
I've got you under my skin. I've got you deep in the heart of me. You're so deep in my heart that you're really a part of me. And I've got you under my skin. I've tried so not to give in. You know, I said to myself, this affair ain't gonna go so well. But why should I try to resist when, baby, I know so well that I've got you way under my skin. I would sacrifice anything come what might for the sake of having you near, in spite of a warning voice comes in the night and repeats in my ear, don't you know, you fool, you never can win. Use your mentality, step up to reality. But each time I do, just the thought of you makes me stop before I begin. 'Cause I've got you, you're under my skin. I'd sacrifice anything come what might for the sake of having you near, in spite of a warning voice that comes in the night and repeats how it yells in the ears. Don't you know, you fool, no chance to win. Why not choose your mentality? Wake up, step up to reality. Just the thought of you makes me stop just before I begin. Because I've got you under my skin. And I love you under my skin.
Who Cares Wins, your health and well-being show here on Channel Radio. Channel Radio.
Who Cares Wins, every Monday at noon on Channel Radio.
I'm a bright star.
Hello and welcome back to Who Cares Wins. We are having a fascinating interview with Dr. Sophie Schotter, aka Dr. Sophie,
to medical doctor.
Medical doctor to her clients.
Not GP.
If you have any questions for Dr. Sophie, we are here to answer them. And if she can't, we will. We'll step in and we'll say something. Angela's on the LinkedIn, so she's on at CaresWins.
We have on Twitter. Yes. I'm on the Twitter feed.
Have you got the Facebook feed?
And I've got Facebook up. We do have a LinkedIn group as well, but I've only got Twitter and Facebook up as we speak.
Okay.
And of course we have the Dog and Bone.
On the Dog and Bone, 01303 874998. That's 01303 874998. And also on email,
yep,
at studio@whocareswinsradio.co.uk.
That's the one.
So any questions for us or Dr. Sophie, please let us know.
Did you do your Macmillan maybe on Friday? I did tweet out. If any of you did have a Macmillan coffee morning and you've raised oodles of cash and dosh.
Even a couple of pence.
Let us know. We'd love to shout about your wonderful efforts. So, did you see the blue moon?
We're coming back to the blue moon later. Hold your horses, girl.
Okay.
we're talking all things skin.
I know. Well,
moment.
I was looking at it thinking it might, you know, send wonderful, wonderful rays, Dr. Sophie, you know. Would that help?
Or the werewolf and too much hair. No, no, we won't go with that. We're talking to Dr. Sophie, all things skin, and this section is skin care. Now, these are common things that we all either do right or wrong without necessarily knowing. So, in terms of things we should know but we forget about, how can we take care of our skin on a daily basis?
The most important thing, if you do nothing else, is to apply a sunscreen every day, summer and winter, to your skin.
So every day?
Every day.
Ah, I think that's a big mistake, because most of us think it's a sunny day,
yeah,
and it's hot, I'll put it on.
Yeah.
Whereas a sunny day in the cold weather, we don't think, nah, I won't bother.
Exactly, but the UV radiation can be just as strong and just as dangerous in winter as it is in summer. So that obviously not only carries a risk in terms of sun damage for aging, but also in terms of skin cancer.
Right.
And most anyone who thinks the one in your makeup counts, it doesn't. You may as well apply baby oil to your skin. You need a specific sunscreen of at least a factor 30.
Factor 30. Now, there was this news broke in the summer about there are two different elements to sunscreen.
Yeah.
And most of us didn't realise this. We just thought if we got the sun factor figure right, we were covered.
Yeah.
But there's a second element we need to be looking for up for.
So it's the SPF tells you the UVB protection of a sunscreen, and there's some stars on the bottles that also tell you the UVA, and you need to pick one that has at least a factor 30 SPF, but also a good UVA protection.
And can I put you on the spot and say, what's the difference between a UVB and a UVA?
It's just different. They're different types of UV rays that are emitted by the sun. And the UVA ones are particularly bad for skin aging.
Right. Okay. And in terms of day-to-day washing, the old chestnut of don't use soap on your skin. Is that right or wrong?
I would say the worst one is makeup wipes.
Oh,
don't use
really?
Wipes on your skin. they dry your skin out terribly because a lot of them have got alcohol in. So I would say just a nice, gentle cleanser without too much added to it is the best way to go.
Okay. And we were laughing when you arrived because neither Angela and I really use makeup.
Nope.
I use it to conceal some skin problems that I have. It's the only time I wear it.
Even at school, I was never really the girly that was into nail varnish and the late, you know, all the makeup that, you know, some girls would wear to school if they got away with it. I was never really into that. I was very much a tomboy and still am at heart, really. But yes, I did sort of scrub up well for my wedding day, and I did have somebody do my makeup for that day. Yes, if I'm going to go out somewhere special with my husband, I may make an effort of putting perhaps some mascara, some eyeliner, maybe some lipstick. But I've always felt, and this is perhaps something we'll come on to with Dr. Sophie's work as well, is that for me personally, I've never really wanted to learn how to put it on. I'm not really interested in makeup in that sense. And I also don't really know what I'm doing. So I always look at it and think, well, I don't think I look any different. So why bother? So I haven't. And also I've had my birthmark, which... that's the only real skin thing that's ever been focused on as to whether I could have had it lasered out when I was a child, when I was about 16. Of course, by which time, when I was 16, it was too late because I'd had all the bullying and
your
everything at school.
Was
so
built in by
it was
then
all right.
And you were
I was all right. You know, I'd beaten all the kids up, so it was fine. No, it's not really. Bullying is not a good thing, and beating children up is not a great thing. But yeah, it was. I've been through the worst sort of years of my life, I felt, and actually, this birthmark is part of me. I do make a joke of it because I say I was born with my knuckles attached to my face, so it was a joint. So I say to people, I was just bored for 9 months, you know. So I don't know, what can we do now?
So in terms of your clientele, so Dr. Sevi, is it beauty, as in people want to improve things, or is it that they might have a problem that they're trying to either disguise or cope with?
It can be both. Sometimes it's a beauty thing, but quite often it's, you know, in skin, for example, it's pigmentation. And women start to wear more makeup as they get older because they've got sunspots.
Right.
And is there anything we can do to get rid of them? And the beauty of what I do is that most people, most of my patients wear less makeup after we've treated them than they did beforehand. So don't tend to wear foundation. I don't personally, very rarely do I put foundation on.
And so we were both talking earlier that we were lucky that we went through childhood and teenage years without many spots.
Yes, I've not, apart from the honorary one just for Dr. Sophie today.
That's broken out for you today. But listeners who look at the photos each week may notice that my skin fluctuates frequently now that I'm an adult, between being relatively okay but with some scarring to being quite broken out. And so that's why I put the makeup on to cover up. And mine seems to be a mixture of my food allergies. If I've eaten something I shouldn't, then I know I'm going to break out. The regular time of the month that happens. But also there's a classic that you get to a certain age and you're going away overnight. What's the first thing you pack as a woman? It's the mirror and the tweezers. Am I probably the oldest one in the room? They're both looking blank at me.
I was going to say, I missed that one, Jan. Sorry, I wasn't there, but no.
And what I do suffer from quite a lot is ingrowing hairs.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to put you on spot all afternoon today. What would you be thinking if I walked into your
clinic? To get free treatment here, Jan, or
advice? Just getting an idea because in the past I've gone along to my GP when I've had a particularly bad outbreak and they've said, nothing we can do on the NHS. So then you think, okay, well, what? And you hear different people saying, well, you probably need a laser surgery, not surgery, but laser treatment on hairs. But then it seems to be individual hairs rather than an area. So I'm thinking, well, I have too many. I could be in there for hours. Tell me what...
What you describe is actually really common. Adult acne, people who've had immaculate skin in their teens, and then all of a sudden, anywhere from their 20s onwards, start to develop a problem. And part of the reason for that, and the same holds true for ingrowing hairs, is that our skin doesn't exfoliate healthily in acne, and those dead skin cells then block a pore, and a bug gets into that, and that's when you get a nice big red spot. And so I actually use a lot of a prescription skincare range called Abaji, which
sounds like onion bhajis to me.
Yeah, that's greasy food, so we're not going there.
Okay. I don't know, is that good for your skin?
No.
Good old curry? Probably not good if I turned up at Dr. Sophie's clinic the next day breathing garlic and chilli all over her. But yes, okay.
So what's it called? Back to the plot. It's called Abaji?
Abaji, O-B-A-G-I.
Right.
And that has an excellent range for adult acne, which involves using a lot of salicylic acid, which is a powerful exfoliator and also helps to kill bugs. And so if you were to walk into my clinic and tell me what you've described today, that would be what I'd recommend. I personally don't offer laser treatments.
Right.
I do have places I can recommend that do, but it's also not suitable for everyone, and it depends on your skin and your hair type. And so it's an individual assessment.
Okay.
I would start with the basics.
And that treatment, you said it was on prescription?
Yes, I would prescribe it.
And you can do that?
Yeah,
and
we give it to you. We prescribe and dispense it.
Right. So again, that what differentiates yourself from somebody who may not be a qualified doctor, that they'll be limited on the range of treatments that they can offer.
Absolutely.
Right. Okay. So that's something for me to
go and
think about.
Jan. I knew that all along.
So we've been tweeting about you across the week, and there are a couple of treatments that you have listed that just got my imagination going. So just want to quiz you on a couple of them. Vampire facelift. That just sounds brilliant. What does that involve?
So the vampire facelift is also known as platelet-rich plasma.
Does it have a technical term?
Yeah. And what it involves is we take a small sample of blood from your arm, the same as you would if you had a blood test at the GP, and I spin that in a centrifuge, which is a special machine. And part of that, which is actually straw-coloured, I inject back into your face, your décolletage, the backs of your hands, or your scalp for hair loss. And what it does is it stimulates collagen formation. And so your skin is plumper, healthier, more even toned, can look revolumized.
So it's just natural recycling, really, isn't it? Taking it from one place and putting it somewhere else.
It's very clever, because I do get as safe as the treatments I offer are, they have very good safety profiles. Some people don't like the thought of having something foreign injected into their body.
Yeah, and that would be me.
this is all yours. There's nothing added to it.
Right. So that's just a term.
Was it you're redistributing it, aren't you?
Don't need it in the arm, I'll stick it somewhere else. So you, on your website, you call it a vampire facial facelift, whatever. You said the technical term was?
Platelet-rich plasma. And it's used in orthopaedic surgeons use it to sometimes to help with tennis elbow, for example.
Ah.
There are many medical uses for it, and the cosmetic uses have grown really within the last 10 to 15 years. For me, I love it as an all over skin rejuvenation treatment. It just leaves you with that peachy glow in your cheeks that's hard to define.
So you've mentioned there, and Angela's one of these people, and I think I am as well, who's
uh-oh, what's coming?
No. You're perturbed or you're put off by the thought of having something foreign injected.
Yeah, I'm not. I did make my physio laugh because even just the fact of taking an anti-inflammatory tablet, it just for me, it's if I can avoid putting anything in to my body as much as possible. Obviously, if, you know, I'm laying in the middle of the street and I need to have something put in to help me out, then please don't just walk on by. But yeah, there is that sort of generic that I try not. I'd rather look at food and drink, the live off the land, you know, and see what I can do sort of healthy and alternative rather than it's more the chemicals and toxins that I try to avoid.
So on a safety aspect.
I do drink coffee.
Yeah, well, so you're doomed.
See? I know, that's it.
On a safety aspect then, injectable treatments.
Yes.
You know, there's obviously, there's a school of thought that says I'm not going anywhere near them.
Yeah.
And then there's a school of thought of give me. Where on the safety scale are those
midnight.
Sort of treatments?
That's an Abba song.
I'm sorry, I've triggered this.
In the right hands, they're safe. And with the right products. So that's... They're the two caveats. If you pick your practitioner well, so doctor, dentist, nurse should, in my opinion, be the only people doing these treatments. And if you pick someone reputable who's using good quality products with a good reputation, then you should be fine. Don't get me wrong. There are side effects to everything, which we always go through a thorough consent process and talk you through. Everything you could possibly want to know or not want to know, but they are safe.
So that might be an indicator as well then. If you go along to somebody and say, I would like to have, and they just go yes, and there's no prelim of interview and questionnaire and safety process.
Yes.
That might ring some alarm bells.
If you come and see me, even for a consultation, before you actually speak with me, you'll have filled out a couple of questionnaires, a lifestyle questionnaire that also talks a little bit about you psychologically and why have you come to see me, and a lot of health related questions. So we're quite thorough, and if I pick up something on that I'm not happy with, then I talk to you about it, and also if I feel the treatment's not right for you, I'll talk to you about it. Someone who just says, oh yeah, happy to do that, and sticks a needle in, that's wrong.
So are you I come in with my skin problem and you feel what I'm asking for is not right for me, do you get to a stage where you actually feel that nothing might be right for me either at this moment in time or at all? And would you therefore discourage me?
I have turned people away. I've always explained very thoroughly why I'm turning them away and try and make them understand my thought processes, hoping that they see what I see.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I also know there will be someone else who will do what they're asking. Somewhere out there, they'll always find someone. And that's a sad reflection, maybe, but it's important that I stick to my morals and my ethics, and I can only treat something I can see and something I believe is right for that person.
Because, there's a fine line, and obviously we haven't got time to go in great depth about it, but obviously there's a controversial aspect about mental health, the confidence, people, you know, looking in a mirror and seeing something and making, you know, they look in a mirror a bit like an anorexic will look in the mirror and see a fat person. And no matter how many times you say you're not, in their world, and that's why they need special help. And so is it similar that you could have people who are truly believing, they look in the mirror and they see lines and wrinkles and frowns, and they believe in their mind that that's not good, but actually, as you say, it's good to hear, it's refreshing to hear that there are people like yourself, Dr. Sophie, who it's not about yeah, yeah, just, you know, give me the cash and I'll inject you and off you go. It's actually more about that whole person and the mental welfare that actually, no, you know, having a Botox or even going down the road of boob jobs and all of that isn't necessarily going to make you feel any different.
What I do is all about confidence and making people feel better about what they see in the mirror. That's my job. And that's the bit I find rewarding about what I do.
Mm.
And if I feel that what I'm going to do will do that person more harm, then I have a responsibility to spot that.
Mm-hmm.
And I try very hard to. But body dysmorphia is a very real thing.
Yeah.
I have come across people with it. And if I identify it, I wouldn't treat that person.
Right. Mm. Well, I think it's time for another music break. This one has been chosen by Dr. Sophie, and she's going to be either drifting off into memory zone here or singing along because it's Ed Sheeran, who she saw live in concert earlier in this year. And the track that she's chosen for us is Photograph.
Oh.
Loving can hurt. Loving can hurt sometimes. But it's the only thing that I know. When it gets hard, you know it can get hard sometimes. It is the only thing that makes us feel alive. We keep this love in a photograph. We make these memories for ourselves, where our eyes are never closing, hearts are never broken, and time's forever frozen still. So you can keep me inside the pocket of your ripped jeans, holding me closer till our eyes meet. You won't ever be alone. Wait for me to come home. Loving can heal. Loving can mend your soul. And it's the only thing that I know. Where it will get easier. Remember that with every piece of you. And it's the only thing we take with us when we die. Keep this love in a photograph. We made these memories for ourselves, where our eyes are never closing, hearts were never broken, time's forever frozen still. So you can keep me inside the pocket of your ripped jeans, holding me closer till our eyes meet. You won't ever be alone. And if you hurt me, that's okay, baby.
Thank you.
still remember how you kissed me under the lamppost back on 6th Street, hearing you whisper through the phone, wait for me to come home.
Who cares wins? Your health and well-being show here on Channel Radio. Channel Radio.
Who cares wins? Every Monday at noon on Channel Radio.
I'm a bright star.
And welcome back to Who Cares Wins with Jan Munnigan and Angela Breyer Stevenson.
Yay!
And our guest today, Dr. Sophie of Illuminate Skin Clinics. We were talking before the break about various treatments that people can have, and we've been tweeting like mad about some of them. And the one that intrigued me was the statement that you made that our lips are as individual as we are. So does that mean my lips are like my fingerprints?
Pretty much. They're a fingerprint on your face. It's every mouth is unique. If you brought me a photograph of a pair of lips you'd seen on the internet, mm-hmm. I probably couldn't recreate them exactly for you, because that the shape of your mouth would be completely different. I could give you lovely lips and do my best to enhance them as much as possible, but I won't be able to copy someone else's.
Right.
I like that.
I like that.
So when I give my husband a kiss, I can tell him it's very unique.
Yes.
No, it's unique. It can't be very unique. My pedanticness comes in here.
Oh, I give up. I give up.
Baby belly. Yeah. Now, you see, I see baby belly and I think, oh, that's got to be exercise and toning. But you've got a treatment for it.
Yes. So we do something called Cool Sculpting, which is permanent fat reduction. It kills fat cells. And I completely agree with you. It isn't an instead of exercise.
So I can't just rop up and say, look, here are me, size 18 to 20 plus, and no. I'd like to be a size 10, please.
No. Your surface fat actually accounts for relatively little of your body weight. We also carry fat on our inside around our organs, and I can't treat that. Mm. But if someone comes to me and has a pocket of stubborn fat on their stomach, they exercise, they eat reasonably well, and they can't shift it. I can help with that. Even people who are a bit bigger, who have problem zones, we can get rid of that as well. But it isn't a treatment for obesity. It doesn't replace having a healthy diet and exercise.
Right. And you called it Cool Sculpting.
Yes.
Again, is there a technical term?
That is the brand name.
Okay.
And it's they're the original technology invented by Harvard scientists who have FDA clearance in the United States. It's a very, very good treatment.
Okay.
And very safe as well.
In like liposuction or not?
No, it's completely non-invasive. You come in, we suck, for want of a better word, suck your fat into a little cup and freeze it. And you're lying there for usually about an hour. On each area that we treat, and then you walk out again. Oh. You might be mildly tender. Mm. I can't say it's completely pain-free, but it's more uncomfortable than painful. Mm. And about 2 to 3 months later, you get your maximum results, and a third of those fat cells will be permanently gone from your body.
Wow.
Okay. Now, we've thrown about the terms dermal filler and Botox. Mm. Can you tell us their similarities or their differences?
So Botox is a muscle relaxing treatment. So we inject it into areas like the frown lines or the crow's feet around the eyes, where lines are created by movement. Now, the whole frozen waxy look is a bit old school.
You say muscle relaxant, but yeah.
I know. I'm just trying to work out.
Smile,
surely,
can't
isn't
grin.
Yeah, when they look like they've had a shock permanently.
And that's a bit old school. It was most practitioners who've been doing Botox for 20 odd years admit they got it a bit wrong in the early days. What most of us aim for nowadays is a softening, a fresh, soft look that you shouldn't be able to look at someone in the street and say, oh my God, they've had Botox. It should be they look really well.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we try and achieve. Dermal fillers, on the other hand, are a revolumizing plumping treatment. So we inject a substance that restores volume to places it's been lost from.
Okay.
So that's where somebody potentially who I've seen who's got, you know, these lips that don't move when they talk, they're sticking out like Mick Jagger's, and they also look like they've had a scare. They've probably had Botox and...
Yes.
The dermal fillers.
And the pillow cheeks, that's dermal fillers.
pillow cheeks. It's lovely phrases.
It is, isn't it? Now, with all of my tweets,
I am very conscious, though, of my facial expression, because I'm thinking, how many frowns can Dr. Sophie see? And is she thinking, oh, there's a great client sitting next to me there. I could do so much with this face.
Is it like one of those, sorry?
Yeah.
No, you carry on.
It is one of those slightly difficult facial situations. I've had several people, the first time they meet me, say, please don't look at my wrinkles. And truth be told, I actually don't switch my professional eye on unless I'm asked to. Yeah. If someone asks my opinion, then yes, absolutely, I'll give it. But what I do isn't for everyone. I'm happy to give my advice, and it's there if someone asks me for it, but I'm not going to impose it on anyone.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Now, your wrinkles are okay, Angela. You know that thing does one need a bra or not, and it's whether you can put the pencil underneath. When you can put a pencil in between your frown lines, then you need to book an appointment.
Okay. Although some of the ladies I've seen, as I say, it's probably where it's gone wrong, but, you know, they could put a pencil between their lips.
Yes.
And their nose.
Yeah. So with all of the tweets we did, with a lot of them were quite jokey, but there was one. I would like to get the science one in somewhere.
Of course.
There's one treatment that you do that's got a science type name, and I'm going to try and pronounce it right because I failed every time so far. Microsclerotherapy.
Yes.
Say it properly for me.
Microsclerotherapy.
I was close. Yeah. Closer that time. What will that do for me?
So that's a treatment for leg thread veins. We don't use it, or I don't use it, for larger varicose veins. So mm-hmm. This is for the thin ones that don't bulge out too much. If you have anything larger, I would refer you on to a vascular surgeon. And what I do is several small injections of an agent that causes your blood vessels to stick together so that you can't see the vein on the outside of your leg anymore.
Excellent. So every bit of the body, you have something for.
We have something for, yes.
But it's mainly facial, tends to be.
The vast majority is facial work. Yeah. And then bits and bobs elsewhere on the body. Hands are quite popular, mm-hmm. necks and décolletage. And I would say the rest of the body, leg veins are very popular, especially this time of the year. But
right.
Apart from that, it's mainly.
And actually, is it population statistics of men versus female? Is it a 50-50 split? Because we are seeing a lot more press and media pressure for guys to have the six pack, to have, you know, the clean looking, fresh face. You know, do you see that your clients are now changing from just all female to male?
It is changing very much. I would say we're probably still less than 10% men. Right. But it's growing. And as you said, the pressure on men is growing. I think men are maybe, the media pressure on men is maybe 10 years behind the media pressure on women.
Yeah.
So I think within the next 10 years, the sort of things I do are going to be much more common amongst men.
Mm. And in terms of your clients, is there a proportion of those who have been given a treatment versus those who come independently to seek treatment? Do people gift...
Yes, but rarely. Right. It's that whole, do you want to give your...
It's politely.
Yes.
Go and
see
somebody
about it. What are you saying, Jen? You're giving me this gift certificate.
Here's your birthday present. Go and get your frown line sorted. We do get people who give gifts, but they're usually gifts that have been discussed where someone said, I'd really like this.
Yeah. And next week we have marriage guidance counselling.
But it's a bit like, do you remember our guest, Jane Wallace, who was House of Colour?
Yes.
So she was the colour lady, you know, about what colours to wear. She's retired now, bless her from it. But she was saying that actually happened with her husband. He bought it as a gift for her to go and have her colours done and her makeup as well, I think. Mm-hmm. And she initially was like, you know, well, what are you saying? That, you know, I don't dress well. And but then she, you know, started a business from it. So it was a good gift.
Good. Yeah. You're going to make a blush now. You've won several awards.
Yeah.
And you've been nominated as well.
Another one. Award winners.
So we're going to hand the floor over to you for self-promotion
here. Ta-da!
Starting off with, I believe, the Kitter Awards was the first one.
Kent Independent Traders.
The first one was Kent Women in Business. Kent Women in Business. Which was back in March, and I won Startup Business of the Year there.
Woohoo!
Thank you. And then only about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I won Startup Business of the Year at the Kent Independent Traders and also won the Rising Star Award.
Wow. That's why she looks so young to be a doctor. She's the rising star.
The rising star.
I was absolutely flabbergasted, but such a huge compliment, and I'm really proud of it.
That's fantastic.
And then we are, as a clinic, nominated for Best New Clinic at the My Face My Body Awards, which are a national industry award.
Wonderful.
The award ceremony for that's in November. So fingers crossed, we've been mystery shopped and people can still vote for us. So
hey, where do they vote?
There's a link on our website, which is www.illuminateskinclinic.co.uk.
Okay.
And there is a link on there. So yeah, any votes are very appreciated.
Brilliant. Absolutely.
Well, that's fantastic. So your first year of trading, you've won two. And you're nominated for a third.
1-3 and nominated.
1-3. Oh, sorry.
And she's being asked to perhaps be involved in award ceremony, to be a judge now next year.
But we can't go into that. So you'll have to come back on.
I've been judging this year. I've judged the Kent Food and Drink Awards as well. So that's been quite a nice little job.
So you know Jules Serkin?
No.
Ah, now come on, Kent Food and Drink Awards.
There must be a link there.
There must be a link. We'll get you definitely introduced.
But to celebrate your wins, you're actually giving back to your clients because you've got a couple of promotions going
so
at the moment.
We want to involve everyone. So we do a facial in clinic, a medical grade facial, which colloquially we call the champagne facial. Mm-hmm. It feels a little bit like having champagne poured on your face.
Right.
Mm.
And we are giving all our patients who book for an injectable treatment in October a free champagne facial as well.
And that's in celebration of your Kitter Award.
Yes,
excellent.
Well done.
And then for Halloween.
Oh, yes. We talked about the vampire facial, we thought that would be quite seasonal. So we're doing £50 off a PRP treatment within about a week either side of Halloween.
PRP? PRP is profit-related
pay.
Yeah, so you've lost Angela now.
Sorry.
Platelet-rich plasma, vampire facial. Sorry.
The redistribution.
Absolutely. Take it from your elbow, stick it in your face. I like it.
Well, it was a blue moon and it was a full moon last night. So vampires and everything out there, you know, if they want a little few things done with their hairlines.
Absolutely. Well, Dr. Mitt, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you today.
Thank you for having me.
Finding out more about your business. And there's so much more we could learn because I'm all into the science and I love your local terms for treatments that have these really long lines behind it. But so if somebody's elsewhere in the world and they're looking for a vampire treatment, it's unlikely they're going to find it on a list of services.
They may well do. It's not becoming just us calling it.
But we'd like to hear.
I did have visions though of it being some form of, you know, suck it out, suck you dry.
But if you're based down under or even up in Scotland and you've got some interesting treatment titles, we'd love to hear from you. We'll challenge Dr. Sophie, see whether she got the same one for a different name and what the links are. But you mentioned there your website, so if people do want to get in touch with you, we've got www.illuminate, that's with an I, not an E, so that's our Illuminate Skin. We don't want to do that.
No.
You've got to keep the skin but make it healthy. So it's illuminateskinclinic.co.uk.
Yes.
And phone number, if you want to phone and have a chat, it's 01732 647 007. So it's 007. No mission too complex.
Do you have Daniel Craig?
Would it help if I said yes?
No, she's the next female.
I was going to say they'll be queuing at your door. So yeah, maybe that's it. Can you deal with the demand that may now fall out from that comment? But yes, I'll be first in the line then.
So thank you again, Dr. Sophie.
Thank you for having me.
Now we've mentioned a couple of your events coming up, but Angela, you've got a couple of events for us.
Well, actually, it's just main one that I want to just remind people. I shout about it a lot last year because I was sort of going, but one of my yoga teachers, which is Abby with yoga.com, she has three more retreats next year that she's off to India, southern India. And so she has three retreats that you can choose from. So you can either go out for 7 nights on February the 14th next year. You can go out for 9 nights from March the 1st, or you can go out for 12 nights from March the 11th. And the price for that would be £600, £650 or £750 respectively. And basically it is a yoga retreat where she is encouraging you to obviously, you know, invite you to practice in Kerala, southern India with her. And so it is not only just fun and sun-filled and there's obviously experiences you want to go, but it's just generally maybe a personal journey for you, maybe emotional baggage that you want to sort of, you know, a bit like a retreat of I'm going away for me. So it's a bit like Dr. Sophie's clients are coming for them, an element of selfishness. Maybe you fancy that actually this would be a good week away, well spent. spent to nourish your soul, as well as perhaps with the body and the movement with asanas. But also she involves local teachers. She has Ayurvedic massages, which I can highly recommend, leaving you feeling light and nourished and totally satisfied, all with the lovely food going on out there, with the nutrients, and you can have little cooking lessons on how to cook proper Indian food. And obviously, just if you want, just all washed out at the end of the day, sitting on the beach, doing a little meditation as the sun sets into the sea in the distance.
And where can I book?
So if you want to get hold of Abby and find out more, and also then perhaps book and start paying her, and she does a payment plan if you wish, so it's not all up in front in one go, then the best thing is if you want to have a look at yogawithabby.com, which is her website, or email her yogawithabby, and that's A-B-B-E-Y, @gmail.com. And that would probably be the best thing, because she can then work through the emails when, because obviously she teaches, so just bear with her. If she doesn't get back to you immediately, she can then get in touch. But it's all for next year, 2016.
Excellent.
But obviously hurry, because I know that there are only a few places left on. In fact, I think one of the retreats may now be fully booked. But get hold of Abby. You may even go on a waiting list
and
in case
something
things
on Facebook,
change. I'll post all, because there's a little PDF that I can post up on Facebook as well.
And today is World Heart Day. So it's raising awareness of heart disease and stroke across the world. So if you're interested in learning more about that and helping either yourself or somebody else that you may know who with heart difficulties, it's www.worldheart.org. And then Wednesday, International Day for Older Persons.
Oh, that's my day.
No, I'm the oldest one in the room, so it's my day. I expect to be pampered rotten. But it's raising awareness of events across the UK at www.un.org.
Oh.
And then there'll be a subpage for UK sites.
Brilliant, brilliant,
so
brilliant.
That's all going on this week.
Did you get up last night?
Well, I was just going to say, last night I slept through it.
Oh,
and
Jen.
I logged onto Facebook this morning to see lots of people with black photographs being posted, and I thought, something wrong with Facebook, all the images are black.
Yep.
And then you kindly informed me that there should have been
a major thing. It wasn't, hadn't happened since 1982.
And what was it?
And it was two things. We had the what they call supermoon, which is where the moon is the very, you know, closest it can be to the Earth,
right?
So it can appear, I think they were saying, it can appear up to 14% bigger. And also we had a lunar eclipse where the Earth gets in the way of the moon and the sun. And so if you were to see it, which I did, the moon goes into shadow. It's a bright, bright moon, full moon, and then it goes, starts to go into shadow. And then when it's in the, I don't know the technical term, Jen, I've forgotten the name, but there is a technical scientific term. But when it goes into this space behind the Earth,
it hides.
Somebody will tweet me and say, well, it is, isn't it? It then takes on, because of the particles and the atmospheric and the, what do you call it, the bounce of curves and all of that. What's those words,
I'm just going to let you
scientific.
Flounder. It's
fascinating. Anyway, that's my world, and I live in it very happily. But yes, there's this refraction.
There we go.
You see, it comes eventually, Dr. Sophie. And the moon becomes this orangey red blood colour.
You've got a brilliant photo.
Read some, well, I will post it, yes. I literally set my alarm. I watched it till about 1:30. And then I thought, I'll tell you what, I'm going to have a little snooze and put my alarm on. And I put my alarm on for about 3:10, woke up, and there it was, this orange, wonderful disc in the sky. It was a beautiful clear night as well. There was beautiful, the stars. I was away.
And you have no werewolf bad reactions?
No werewolf. No, I didn't notice any hair growth last night.
Good.
Jan, I'll have another check in a minute, but I think it was all right. It was interesting because some of the stuff on the websites and Twitters you see, you know, that some of these events have been linked to, you know, apparently it was the end of the world last night. But
I'm
hey,
still here, I think.
We're still going on,
yeah,
aren't we?
We're still here.
Are you still listening to us out there? The Who Cares Wins Land?
Out there?
But yeah, it was fantastic. So there's all sorts of things associated spiritually with new moons and blue moons and super moons, and the lunar eclipse. But I just wanted to see it because, again, I think when the next one is 2033 or something like that. So,
oh, yeah, a bit past it by
it's
then,
just
I
amazing.
Feel.
And then I just stare at the moon and think, my goodness, a man walked on that.
He did. Well, we won't be walking in the studio this time
next
week.
No, unfortunately,
Andrew
I'm going to be
both
with my
have
mother.
Other commitments.
She's got her treatment starting, so I shall be holding
wish her
hand.
All the best for that, and
thank you.
To you and your family
thank
in
you.
Supporting her.
Yes, yes.
I will be slaving away doing some work. I do occasionally.
What's that word? Work.
Work.
Oh, yes.
Yes, four-letter word. And so I have a booking which takes me out of the area, so I won't be here either. But we will either ask the computer to pick a repeat.
I think that was quite fun. I think we should get the computer to just do a little cherry
generator to pick a show for you. But Angela and I will be back live in the studio on Monday, the 12th of October.
Yep. We may have a guest. We're just in conversations at the moment.
Yeah.
So we can't promise who it is yet.
So keep watching the Facebook page, LinkedIn, Twitter, website,
everywhere.
Everything. We're everywhere.
You never know.
Even
I might just
here,
leap out
everywhere.
From an alleyway somewhere with my Who Cares Wins banner.
Absolutely. So thank you again to Dr. Sophie for today. And we're going to play out for Angela.